I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm really good. Welcome to the Musicians Insider. This is my podcast. I run from my home office, my spot of jamness. This is
Yeah,
on
very
a
cool.
you're swiveling on top of my hoverboard. You have
Dig, I like it.
a nice wall of guitars behind you there, my friend.
Thank you. Yeah, that's some of them.
For a second, I'm like, is that an image or is that real? I'm like, damn,
No,
that's pretty
it's
incredible.
real. I could give you the tour if you want.
You know what? I would like have nothing more than ask you to absolutely give me the tour. Let's see what you
Cool.
got.
You want to do that now?
Sure, why not? And then we'll talk a little bit. Actually, let's just give a little introduction first. So,
Yeah.
welcome to the Musicians Insider podcast. I'm Aaron Cronus. What I do is I like to interview musicians and artists and people in the industry around the world and ask them for advice to give to my audience about how perhaps they could one day do what you're doing or learn from your experience.
Great,
Pretty
cool.
chill. I don't have any questions printed out to read to you from ChatGPT or anything weird like that. It's just a conversation, and I
Need
mean,
some
I'm
answers from ChatGPT, actually.
pretty. It's all about making a really long question prompt.
Right.
There's
Yeah.
a job now called a prompt engineer.
Nice.
So let's do the tour. Why not?
Cool. Yeah. Let me see if I can flip this around. Yeah.
This is
Cool. I can
great.
even zoom and stuff.
Oh,
This is
right
the
on.
wall of the more used stuff. This is where I usually end up down here.
You're such a session
Les
player.
Paul or Stratland. I have this cool Tele that I built from Warmoth. You know that company?
Warmuth.
OTH. They're
Oth.
in Washington State. And
I'll
you
put a
can
link.
it's like you do it yourself kind of thing. So it comes and there's just a body and a neck and parts, and you put it together.
Oh, I would never trust myself for something like that.
Man, I did it
What
in a weekend and I'm not handy. It was really, really cool.
kind of
And then
tools?
over here we have the
Sitar.
slightly less used stuff. And then some other weird stuff, even less used stuff back here.
So for the
Some of
kids at
the
home, a session guitar player, this is what their studio can sometimes really grow into stuff like this. Look at all the guitars and pedals and
And I
everything.
guess all the people listening on the podcast only are just already have already tuned out and are listening to something else now. And
That's the
then
best part of it all. We're not describing what he's showing too much, but I do have my podcast is a video, and
cool.
I do encourage people to go to the YouTube channel and watch
Great.
these as well. But yeah, he's showing me an amazing collection of instruments and amps and everything in his different rooms in
This used
his.
to be an ISO booth, but now it's just spillover for other stuff. And then let's see. And then so here's some amps over here. These are all on a, I have four heads on a head switcher, so I can real quick go back and forth between sounds. Got some pedals on the floor.
I like the
Some
Vox
pedals
wah.
on the shelf. Yeah, that's actually modified, but it does sound very good.
I modified mine too. Interesting.
Yeah, and then I
I
have
use
my
a.
little controller so I can pretend to be a real engineer. I got a little bit of outboard gear, and that's kind of it, you know? What else do you need? Yeah.
Someone to push all the buttons.
Exactly. I do need that, as a matter of fact.
Well, that's really cool. Well, I definitely want to ask you a couple things. Like I did read a bit about what you've been up to, and I see that you've done some pretty big things. So I think what I'd like to ask you for is maybe just tell me a brief history of kind of a little bit about yourself, how you ended up kind of where you are. And then I'd also definitely want to ask you a tiny bit about Joe Satriani and a little bit about a couple other things you've been doing, like the Foo Fighters and stuff. So that sounds really neat. So let's hear a little bit about where you've come from.
Okay, first I maybe need to clear up something. I think the Joe Satriani Foo Fighters thing, those are credits for a producer that I just worked with on my new record.
Okay.
So yeah, I didn't want to. I'm always kind of you see people that put these credits on their site or whatever, and you're like, wait, you really did all this? And then you find out like, well, no, like that was really a stretch. So I personally try and not do that.
Hey, no problem.
So full disclosure,
I was skimming through your information about you, and I saw those names. I just thought I jotted their names down and thought, ask about them. That's it.
Cool. Yeah, we can circle back to that. Well, actually, we can maybe touch on that now. I have a new record coming out in the fall, and I worked with the great producer, Jim Scott. So he was Rick Rubin's engineer for many years, and he also worked with the Foo Fighters. He did one of the more recent Joe Satriani records. He's done Tom Petty, Wilco, Tedeschi Trucks Band, just a lot of my favorite records. He's got this crazy studio up in Santa Clarita that's like this wonder emporium of just insane amounts of gear. Actually, on my Instagram, I have a few videos of just walking around the place going like, wow, look at all this stuff. And he's just one of those old school engineers that gets, you know, you do one take and then you walk in the control room for a playback and it's like, whoa, it sounds like a record already. So
very cool.
Yeah.
Really
fun.
I think the new record, what's it called?
That's a good question. I've got a few working titles kicking around in my head. You know, it's funny. It's all instrumental. I don't sing. I wish I did because life would be much easier if I sang. I could play music that fit into a nice little box. So when people said, oh, what's your music sound like? I could say, Americana singer-songwriter or, you know,
well,
alternative
it doesn't,
rock
just,
or something
just so
like
you
that.
Know, it's not that easy. I'm a singer. My artist name is Cronus, and I do it all myself. All of it. And it's still extremely difficult to break above the crowd, even though, like, what do you do? Alt rock using EDM tools?
Right. Yeah. There's probably, you know, a sub-genre for that, though, on Spotify. So
hopefully.
But yeah, so I play instrumental music because I don't sing. So the guitar kind of takes the lead vocal role. And I grew up playing everything. You know, I kind of started at the tail end of the hair metal era. And then as it was transitioning to grunge. So that was like kind of that's all kind of in my DNA with a lot of classic rock. But then along the way, I made a pretty sharp left turn down the dark jazz highway.
Oh, wow.
And I stayed there for a few years. So it's kind of got all these elements. And I've just been kind of calling it like instrumental blues, like in the style of Jeff Beck and Larry Carlton.
I noticed you mentioned that you do some stuff at the Baked Potato. I used to live in Burbank, so I've been there a lot. I'm near Toronto now. Pandemic sent me back. But yeah, man, I'd love to hear about some jams. You probably know Andy Sinisi, a drummer. I had him on one of my tracks, and I know him pretty good from that place, too.
Yeah, I just saw Andy the other night. We went to see a mutual friend play at this little place in Santa Monica. So, yeah,
I
love Andy.
I miss LA so much, my friend. He played with Frankie Valli at a little casino near us here in Rama, Ontario, and he put me on the guest list. I got to go hang out with him and see the Big Girls Don't Cry and My Girl songs. That guy's
great,
like 90 something. Wow,
it's
he's
incredible.
Old. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. How is
hope
LA?
I'm still doing that when I'm 90.
Whereabouts are you? Like, you don't have to tell me specific, but are you like in Santa Monica or where are you at?
I'm in the Valley in Studio City. I'm actually about 8 minutes from the Baked Potato.
Beautiful.
So yeah, it works out. I love that place, man.
That's really cool, man. Yeah. I've had a lot of weird band meeting things go there, but like where you go to meet people, you go there.
Sure. Yeah, totally.
I also really miss the Rainbow. I tell my friends about it all the time. I miss just hanging out near the Lemmy statue and enjoying the air.
Right. Yeah. And probably not the same with him gone now.
Right. I mean, you know, but what do you do? I did see a band play at their 40th anniversary. I think it was Kix. And then I think Matt Starr is now with Kix. These people are now joining up and doing crazy things.
Yeah.
Do you go to the NAMM show every year? Is that something you've been doing or you've probably been?
I'm one of the few that love going to the NAMM show, although I haven't been able to go the last couple of years. So, but yes, I do enjoy going. There's also like an amp show that was happening out here. I love all that stuff. It's fun.
You're definitely a gear pig. And I feel you. I have my Ernie Balls here. I got
I saw that.
I got a Majesty. This is my favorite guitar in the world right now. Oh my God. Like if you get a chance and like, all I do is I flip to the piezo for clean, go back for heavy. And that I use Ableton to do my switching.
Cool.
And this is just a JP6 as well as this one here. Really, really love those guitars. Ernie Ball is my, my career.
They're great guitars, and I love the people who play them, especially Steve Morse. He was a big influence on me.
I got to meet him at NAMM a few times. Real nice guy, and like he knows how to play like the right way, like the right songs.
he was a big influence
because he wrote them.
It was like, well, yeah, exactly. But it was like, oh, here's a guy who's just kind of down to earth. Like he's not stumbling off the stage, and he's, you know, he's like flying planes and also writing this crazy music and making it happen. You know, like this kind of outside of the box music. He's just committed to doing it for so many years and has the respect of his peers. So it was kind of like he was somebody I sort of almost like maybe modeled myself after a little bit.
Right. Session player. On that note, if someone is watching this and says, you know, I wish I could go to Los Angeles and be a session guitar player, but I can't afford to blah, blah, blah. But even though it's actually pretty cheap to live in LA, if you know what you're doing, I would say, what kind of advice have you got for someone who maybe wants to try to do it from wherever they're at, or how do you get into
it?
You know,
I would say be patient. It takes a while. I mean, I've been here almost 20 years now, and I feel like I'm finally kind of starting to reap some of the rewards of all my years of like just head down, nose to the grindstone kind of stuff. But also you got to stay well-rounded. I mean, as a session player, anymore, you don't really have the luxury of having like three guitars on a date where somebody can go, okay, you cover the hard reading stuff, I'll cover, you know, the acoustic strumming stuff, and a third person can just be like auxiliary, you know, whatever else needs to be covered. So it's just like they need to be able to hire one person. Like this morning I was doing this thing where it's acoustic guitar, ukulele, banjo, and dobro all kind of playing these cues. And I mean, if I had my way, I'd be just playing Steve Morse music all the time, you know. but I love making people happy through the guitar. And so a lot of times that means playing dobro and playing banjo and figuring it out when they write stuff that's actually, hey, you know, the banjo actually doesn't go that low, but maybe I can tune down, you know, low enough to cover this part, or, you know, all these little challenges that come up along the way, kind of navigating that stuff. It's a fun puzzle to solve for people. So again, getting back to your question about advice, I think you have to be, you know, you have to play well with others, play nice in the sandbox. So when people do send you things, it's like, clearly a guitar player did not write this part, because no guitar player, you know, it's not even physically possible to play these four notes on a guitar at the same time. But you can't come back to a person and say that. You have to either figure out a way. you either have to figure out a way to like to make it happen to where the effect that they're going for is achieved, or you have to, if you really need to, you know, you can address it and say, hey, we need to maybe take a look at these bars. You know, what's most important to grab here? I mean, the good thing is through the magic of Pro Tools, kind of anything is playable these days. But, you know, getting back to your thing about, oh, you need a button pusher. It's like, sometimes I spend so much time doing this stuff in Pro Tools where it's like, hold on, I need another track. And then you have to name it so it looks pretty when they, you know, because you're not just playing guitar anymore. You're engineering, you're running Pro Tools, you're producing and arranging on the spot. When you do get to a section where it's like, okay, this is unplayable, 9 times out of 10, I'm working by myself, and the client might be across the world and it's, you know, they're asleep because it's nighttime there. And there's not really, you know, the turnaround is so tight. I just has to get done right now in this moment. So you really have to wear a lot of hats.
Yeah, and it doesn't really make sense to have another person if you're the one getting paid for the gig, right? Because then you're paying someone else to do what you just need to learn how to handle your own.
Well, and that's, again, it's something I've actually tried a few times, and I haven't really found somebody who honestly is willing to work hard enough. And I think that's where nine times out of 10 people who, like I did, move here to do something creative, I don't know if they're willing to make the sacrifices that you have to make. I mean, you really have to put everything else to the side and make whatever it is that you moved here to do, you know, your number one priority, to the detriment of probably most other things in your life, for at least a good 10 or 20 years, you know?
And I feel
I
you.
mean,
And I was just gonna say, I used to be in bands where like we were really blessed. We would hire the best engineers in town, and you know, I got used to doing that, so I wouldn't ever compromise anything. So therefore, I'm like, I'm not mixing it because I can't. It's gonna never sound as good. Because I don't know, you've seen Steel Panther? Because you're like in hair.
sure.
So my buddy who was in our group mix our mixer, Jay Rustin, amazing guy. He's their
Oh yeah,
producer.
I love his work. Yeah.
I haven't seen him in a while. I've been hoping to get him on here, but I was blessed to have him as the engineer when I did my first record, and he ended up joining our band for a bit because we had a it's a long story, but love that guy. So after having his ears on all my mixes, like I was super hesitant about ever touching anything unless it was someone like him or better, which kept me out of really getting anything done for a while too. But found a good studio at Hollywood and Vine that's really cool called Excellent Sound, and they're more EDM. So I went to them and said, look, I want to do rock, alt rock, but with EDM tools, and I use Ableton for everything. It's amazing. Very, very
Oh,
fun.
cool.
But I don't do session work really. Like I'm not out like doing compositions and things. Like, and I think what you're doing is something that, you know, it's a skill in itself to be able to craft, you know, music for other people and not be attached to it too much and feel like you're giving away your babies. And that's something I wanted to ask you about. How do you not give away your best stuff when you're in it? Because sometimes you just like, oh, I got to use that part I wrote, and you're like, crap, that was mine.
Well, I mean, that's the job, and it's not like a, what's the expression, a zero sum game. I mean, there's no, hopefully there's, you know, an unending well of ideas that, I mean,
Brilliant.
if you're doing your job correctly. And it, I mean, in a way that gets into a little bit of woo-woo life stuff. Like you do need to stay inspired and wake up every day coming in ready to make music. And you know, you go through phases where you're like, oh, I played this part, you know. I mean, I myself, like, I've found things where now I definitely do sometimes go, okay, I know this works, but like, please, let's find something else
Less
to do.
generic, like.
Well, also, I mean, it's hard because sometimes you are working on these projects for years with people, and they've come to expect a certain you know, level of density in terms of what you're giving them. You know, I mean, a lot of times it's like, hey, we've got this, like I do these, they're like big parades for theme parks. You can guess maybe which ones they might be,
Yeah.
but anytime there's a new, like Halloween, they do another big parade, or let's jump into
Clearly, you're
spring, or
talking about Knott's Berry Farm. Just kidding.
So all year long, you know, you're getting these things, and a lot of times the ask, I guess you would say, is like, hey, we have this song about Halloween and it just sounds a little flat. Like, can you make the choruses pop? Can you make the verse not sound so stagnant? All this kind of stuff. So you do develop you know, tricks, or just, it's not even a trick, it's just things that you know. Okay, I know, like, take
Technique.
power chords doubled and you know, that kind of stuff. These techniques that are going to work. Yeah. On the one hand, it's like, well, to your question about doing the same thing over and over again, it's like, if that's what works and that's what's going to make the person happy that who hired you, then that's kind of what you should do. Also, balancing that with, like, I don't know, does it matter if you've done that 1,000 times? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. You know, I mean, this is getting into the art side of things versus the craft side of music, you know?
Well, have you written a song for your next record and then ended up using it for a client because you just it was perfect and then you can't use it on your album anymore?
Not really, because I'm not really doing any writing for the, you know, for the most part. I mean, I do some of that, but that kind of stuff is, I'm not precious about it.
Got
So,
it.
and it tends to be more like very much in a specific box, which is not the sandbox that I play in when I have my artist hat on. So I do have a new single coming out, and it's called Late to the Party. And it's kind of, you know, harkens back to like the classic vinyl era, I guess I would say. And it's funny, to your question, what's it sound like? Usually people that are way into jazz go, this is rock. This is way too rock for me to like play on my jazz radio station. And then people that only play rock music are like, man, the guitar playing's cool, but it's a little too jazzy, you know, to put on this playlist or something like that.
That means you're balanced on the fine line of the two, which is a good thing.
Maybe. Yeah, either that or I'm, again, following in Steve Morse's footsteps and making music that's just completely unmarketable.
Well, I think at this point, everything's marketable if you just market it.
Yeah. I try and look at it like, well, would I like this? I mean, and in a way, like, it's like I'm making this maybe for like 17-year-old me, you know, like, and I think like, yeah, I would be way into this actually. So I want to believe that there's, you know, some kid out there who likes all the same stuff that I liked and, you know, just wants to hear cool music made live in a room with human beings.
And now that live music has come back, are there any shows you've been planning to go to or gone to that have blown you away lately, or anything you'd recommend going to see, any tours, or what's inspiring for you?
You know, I do frequent the Baked Potato quite a bit still. And actually, I just now I got an email. There's a great young guitarist named Pedro Martin. I believe he's Brazilian, and I saw he's playing there in two nights. So I'm definitely going to go check that out.
Way cool.
I just try and keep my ears open and, you know, pay attention to things that are happening. And it is hard. And this is one of the frustrating things about being a musician is, I mean, there's so many times where, I mean, actually, this just happened. I was trying to get tickets for Shakti, you know, John McLaughlin's kind of world music project. And it's down in Orange County, and I just got booked for a session that day. It's kind of like an all-day thing. So there went that opportunity to see music, you know. But, I mean, it's a good problem to have. But
lucky for you, where you live, people play there.
Yeah. Yeah, we are spoiled here in LA. There's so much stuff coming through here all the time.
I did live there for a decade. 13 years. I just came back, and I'm missing everything. I'm going to a bluegrass festival on the 23rd of June in a place called Tottenham, Ontario. And you know why I booked that? Because I don't know any of the bands, and I just want to go to, like, I'm missing Burning Man again. We run the skateboard camp. I haven't gone in 3 years because of the pandemic. So I just want to go to some kind of festival and not care about missing some bands that I really want to see because I don't know who they are anyway. So it should be a great time.
Cool. Yeah. It sounds like fun. I love doing that kind of stuff.
You know, why not? That's really neat. So anything else coming up that you'd want to maybe just tell our listeners about that isn't related to them becoming stars in any way?
Sure. So I have my hand in a few different projects lately. So last year, there's a drummer in town. He's been here for decades named John J.R. Robinson. He was Quincy Jones's first call. He played a lot, you know, on a lot of Michael Jackson songs. He's been on, like, I don't know, he's like one of Rolling Stone's like greatest drummers of all time list and all this kind of thing. We are the world and what else? You know, just all kinds of insane credits. And I got to know him just from playing around town, you know, playing sessions. And we've always kind of said, hey, we should do something someday. So last year I got an email out of the blue. Andrew, this is typical JR fashion. Hey, July 11th to 12th, you around? Let's make a record. And I'm like, yes, let's do it. So he put together this little organ trio, and we went in the studio for 2 days, made a record. So it's myself on guitar, JR on drums, and a great organist from Omaha, Nebraska named Mitch Town. So, and we call it SRT, Sennewick Robinson Town. And man, it's crazy. That was less than a year ago. And we actually have a small record deal on a Japanese label. So we're actually getting ready to go do a tour of Japan in a couple of weeks. And this is all actually going to feature a great tenor sax player named Tom Scott, who was, again, in that kind of world, like he's played on, like, you know, every top 10 back when there were saxophone solos on top 10 songs, you know, back in the day. And he had his own band called the LA Express. So we're going to do some of our music, some of his music, And yeah, really looking forward to it. If you like instrumental music, I think it's going to be great.
That's a lot of fun. Well, the thing that's great about experimental music is there's no bad singing.
Well, sometimes I sing along with what I play, so that there might still be some bad singing.
Just say you're using the talk box.
There we go. Yeah, Peter Frampton style.
Well, that's really neat, man. I'm impressed. Well, I'd love to hear some of it. I'll have to check it out. And so that's what you're telling me is you're big in Japan. So that's pretty cool.
Exactly. Yes. Just
I've
like
always
the old
wanted to have
saying.
an instrumental band that was big in Japan, but you know, someday.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, I guess on that note, I think that's we've touched on pretty much everything that you're doing. I'll definitely li post links to all the things you've got. I'll get your website and everything off you if you have one. And
Sure, yep.
other than that, if there's any other last minute sort of advice you have for our audience that you want to give them as a takeaway, you can feel free to let them know that. Tell them how to say your name properly so we all know it, because people say Cronus, and it's supposed to be
Right.
Cronus.
Sure. So it's Andrew Spinawick. And I know it's a really cool name. It's not a stage name or anything like that.
And where are you, what's
I
your
say
background?
jokingly. It's Polish, actually. Yeah, and you know what's funny is when I moved out here to make it in the big city, make it in Hollywood, I thought, man, should I change my name? Nah, that's too Hollywood, man. I don't want to do that. But cut to 20 years later, it's like just making a reservation at a restaurant. It's like, what's the last name? What? How do you spell it? If I could go back in time, maybe I would. But
Smith.
one of the good things is it's very unique. So my website, andrewsinowick.com, was readily available. And it actually bodes well for my Google search results, as a matter of fact. So it's pretty cool on that front.
And my day gig is digital marketer, SEO. I was an SEO director out in LA for 13 years. So I'm going to ask you, but how's the search volume on that term? How many people are actually typing it? You know what I mean? So that's the thing, right? You're going to be looking
Right.
at. So it's like, yeah, I can find my name on any username I need, but is anyone ever going to type it? You got to
Yeah.
ask that question. And,
Well, the good thing is, when if people go, shoot, what was that name? If you get close and you put in the word guitar, you'll find me.
That's
I'm easy
great.
to find.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And did you see Apple's announcement? Are you excited
I
about
did
the
not. I kind of live under a rock sometimes, so you'll have to.
3,500 bucks for a pair of ski goggles that you put on?
Nice.
We'll see where that goes. I think it's exciting times, but I'm not a billionaire, so I don't get to play with those toys as much as the rest of
Yeah.
some of them do. But Andrew, great to speak to you. Thanks a lot for coming on the Musicians Insider podcast. You know, maybe in a year or so, you can come back on and tell me how things are going, or if you have something new to promote.
Sure, I'd love that. Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate
Great.
it.
Well, thanks a lot, and that's it for the day. So you have a wonderful day. Thanks very much,
You
Andrew.
too.